You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Right, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to keep going back to Mark in this series, Mark 4, and then Ephesians chapter 6. You got a real physical Bible with you, Ephesians, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, check that out right there. Yeah, come on. All right, we are continuing our series. You guys weren't impressed by that at all? You're like, you should know that stuff. All right, we're continuing our series we have been in called But Nobody Ever Talked to Me About, and we are, I believe, going to have a fun and even helpful time today on this Father's Day. And so as I mentioned earlier, we want the church, we want the gathering to be the best place you can be on Father's Day if you're a dad. And so I grew up in church my whole entire life, and I was trying to remember this past week what we did back in the day to honor dads on Father's Day. And that's when I remembered. The church I grew up in when I was a kid, one year, we had an all-church swim party at the Heston Pool. Like, the idea was to get, like, families together, make time for dads to be with their kids. How many of you guys have ever been to an all-church swim party? Like, where the church rents out the local pool and everybody's there together. Have you ever done that? All right, let me just say this real quick. We will never do that at the gathering. I just personally fall into the category where I think we just don't need to see each other in our swimsuits, right? I love you guys. I want to be in relationship with you guys. I just think that is a degree of relationship we don't need to explore together, right? But so our church, when I was a kid, they rented out the entire Heston Pool, and we all went there together and had an all-church swimming party. It was the 80s. You did weird things like that back then. But so here's really the reason why you don't have an all-church swim party, because there's always going to be, like, that guy or that girl who shows up in the most inappropriate swimsuit. You know what I'm talking about. And so here's what happened at the all-church swim party back in the day. There was that guy. And listen, he was probably the most conservative guy in the church. Nobody saw this coming. But he showed up in the Speedo. And it was bright blue. I mean, that image has left a permanent scar just right here. And not only did he wear the Speedo to the all-church swim party, he went off the high dive like nobody's business. I mean, over and over again, fancy dives too. Like, there was no splash when he entered the water. He was putting on a show. And I was only like 8 or 9, but I remember thinking, something is not right with this thing right here, right? So I hate to be the party pooper, but we're not going to have any all-church swim parties. Some of you got bummed out. Some of you got really relieved by that. But we do got maple bacon donuts and some dad badges, right? Come on, it's a pretty good day around here, isn't it? And so I believe God has a very timely message for us today as well on this Father's Day. I'm excited for what we get to talk about. And so I want to point out that for the past 3 weeks in this series so far, we have laid a foundation for how we can receive and accept God's word into our lives. But starting today, we are going to dive into some life topics. We're going to begin to dive into the life topics of this series. And so it's very important that we prepare ourselves and we position our hearts so that we can receive and accept, or really live by, what God says to us, okay? Jesus shows us in Mark 4, he shows us that a lot of people hear his word. A lot of people hear God's word, but they don't accept it. They're not committed to God. They're not willing to obey his word, and their hearts are still hard. The word can't get in. They can't hear what he is trying to say to them, and therefore, they don't end up experiencing a harvest in life. So where's your heart at today? Did you just show up for that maple bacon donut? Or come on, did we show up because we're ready to listen to what God has to say to us? Are you willing to obey him? Are you committed to God? Remember, our obedience reveals who or what we're committed to, and our desire to listen will determine how much we'll actually obey, okay? But church, here's what we've been seeing. Here's what we've been seeing can happen with any person. Here's what can happen with you if you will allow your heart to be open to receive God's word. If you're willing to live by it, if you've got your Bibles open to Mark 4, we're going to read verse 20. Watch what Jesus says. He says, and the seed, or that's the word of God he's talking about, that fell on good soil, soft, open hearts. It represents those who hear and accept. They live by God's word, and then watch what they do. They produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. In other words, these people, and put yourself in their shoes. These people, they leave discouragement and disappointment and pain and anxiety and regret in the dust, and they experience the life of impact and significance, that life of peace and joy and blessings and harvest that we've been talking about, where other people then get to experience the life of God and all of that peace and the joy and the blessings that come with it because of those very things that God has poured out in and through your life. Come on, who wants that life? Who wants the harvest? Who wants discouragement and disappointment to be a thing of the past that they can look back on? Who wants to have that day? Maybe you're in some discouragement right now or some disappointment, but who wants to reach a day where you'll be able to look back and say, I can't believe what God has done in my life. I can't believe all the peace and the joy that I have. I can't believe how blessed I am. Come on, who wants that? We all do, right? You can have it. And today's topic is huge for receiving it. So you guys ready for today's topic that nobody is talking about anymore? You guys ready? All right, here it is. It's perfect. It's the perfect topic to talk about on Father's Day. Here it is. Honor. Honor. Ain't nobody talking about honor anymore. And as you can see, we've got a definition that goes along with this. Okay, here it is. To regard others with dignity and respect. To regard others with respect and dignity. Okay, let me just show you how I know nobody's talking about honor anymore. I want you to follow me for a moment, okay? So this should not come as a surprise to anyone, but our society has been in the middle of a breakdown for quite some time. Amen? Would you agree with that? There is so much brokenness in our culture. In fact, brokenness continues to become the norm for most people today. We are discouraged, we're spiritually bankrupt, we're angry, we're fatherless, we're hopeless, we're selfish, we're lazy, we're abusive. Church, we truly have entered a post-Christian world. Especially here in America, okay? Meaning that up until recently, okay, even if you weren't a Christian, even if you didn't follow Jesus, our society as a whole still largely lived by Christian values. At least publicly, that was the norm. Yeah, there may have been some things, some bad things going on behind closed doors, but publicly, things like truth, things like honesty, things like integrity, things like authority, things like caring for other people, and even things like honor, those things were highly valued, and the opposites of those things were looked down upon. But all that is breaking down. And here's what you need to understand. Our society is breaking down at the relational level. You need to understand this if you're going to truly understand what honor is all about. Listen, our understanding of what it means to truly love others is completely breaking down. We have never been so divided. We don't even know how to have a conversation with somebody anymore. And follow me, relationships matter the most. Relationships are the most important thing in life. Think about this. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most valuable thing that we can do, Jesus? And what did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all that you are, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love people around you unconditionally. Pursue, be committed to pursuing loving relationships. So think about this. Think about what Satan has done, okay? Satan hates God, and he hates your guts, and he wants you to die. And he heard when Jesus said, the most valuable thing we can do is love God and love others. So here's what he's been doing ever since. He has been attacking our will and our desire to be relational. He has been working overtime to destroy your will and your desire to love and express love and care for others. And strategically, he's really accomplishing two major things as he does this. He's getting our society to break that greatest commandment, and at the same time, he is breaking our society down at the relational level. You need to know this. Our lives together in the body of Christ, our relationships in the body of Christ are intended to be eternal. Our relationships in the body of Christ, our relationship with God and our relationships with each other are intended to last forever. And so God has called us to be relational with him, relational with each other, and relational with everyone around us. We are to make more disciples everywhere we go so that the family of God can grow and more people, more and more all the time, can get to experience eternal life through relationship with God and through relationship with his people. But we're now living in a culture that doesn't even believe in the eternal. We're living in a culture that is only concerned with the immediate and the temporary. We don't think long-term when we think about relationships anymore. We don't think about what we can grow and what could be produced if we would commit ourselves to relationships over the long haul. We think about relationships in these terms right here. What can I get from this person right here and right now? And so keep following me. You have to see this. Our inability to maintain healthy relationships with others is killing our momentum in life. I'm going to say this one more time. Our inability to maintain healthy relationships with others is killing our ability to maintain momentum in life. Okay, what do I mean by momentum? I mean that trajectory you get to be on. I mean that life you get to live when you learn how to love God and love others the way he does. I'm talking about that life of impact and significance. That life of peace, joy, blessings, and harvest where other people, they get their lives harvested into the kingdom of God through your ability to be a relational disciple maker and the momentum and the level of multiplication that comes along with it. Satan knows that if he can destroy your relationships, he can kill your momentum. He can stop you from living the life that God wants you to live. So if he can fracture your marriage, Dad, if he can get you more focused on your career than your kids. Dad, if he can get you to cheat on mom. Mom, if he can get you to never trust a man ever again. Sons and daughters, if he can get us to resent and hate our parents. Everybody, if he can get us just to have that mindset where we just use other people. Or if he can get all of us just to believe what culture believes, that we should pursue sleeping with anyone and everyone we can without any kind of commitment to any of them. Mr. and Mrs. Christian, if he can get you fractured in your relationship with your church, if he can get you to not show up consistently, or I was thinking about this, perhaps even better from Satan's perspective, if he can get you to be a perpetual church hopper. Here's what church hoppers do. They show up in a place. They start building relationships. Something happens. They take off, and those relationships get broken. Sometimes they take other people out with them, and then they go on to the next place, and they do it all over again. I think Satan likes that even more than people just not showing up in church. Listen to me. All those things, and so much more, those things cause relational breakdowns, and they can crush your momentum in life. They get in the way of your ability to live the life of impact and significance that God has for you, okay? So, again, keep following me. We're coming full circle right here. Once again, our inability to truly love others is killing our ability to maintain momentum in life. And so how does honor tie in to all of this? You have to hear this, okay? Honor serves, builds up, cares for, and even protects relationships. In fact, you can write this down. Honor is an essential expression of love. Honor is an essential expression of love. To regard others with respect and dignity is to express love and care for others. Your choice to give honor has a direct impact on your ability to maintain healthy relationships that can thrive. And friends, here's why there could not be a better topic to talk about on Father's Day, because God gave us another foundational command in His Word. And I know we all know it, and I know some of you guys already know where I'm going with this, okay? But it's a command for all of us. It's a command for all of us, and this particular command instructs us on how we are to relate to our parents. Now, listen to me. This isn't going to turn into some kind of exclusive Father's Day message this morning, okay? But I want us to see this command, okay? And I want us to see how this command, how we relate to our parents, actually has implications for how we'll be able to maintain healthy relationships with anyone else. Okay, check this out, okay? If you got your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3, and here's what we're going to see. This is Paul writing, and he's actually going to be quoting from the Ten Commandments. Paul's going to quote the fifth commandment that God gave his people way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And so not only do I want us to see the command, but please hear me, I want you to see how much this one command can impact the rest of your life and all of your other relationships. You guys ready for Ephesians chapter 6? Here we go, verses 2 through 3. Watch this, you know this. Paul quotes, "Honor your father and mother." Okay, you see that first word? Honor. Honor your father. I want to say real quick, and I'm being serious about this. We honor the badge here at the gathering. Amen? We're going to honor that badge here at the gathering. Honor your father and mother, God says. And then Paul makes a comment about this. Watch what he says. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment in the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise attached to it. He says, if you honor your father and mother, okay, now he's going to quote God again. Okay, God's saying, if you honor your father and mother, watch this, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Church, are you seeing this? I got to know, are you seeing this? Come on. God said way back in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, honor your father and your mother, and if you do, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Somebody sign me up. Come on. Who wants things to go well for them? You want it, right? Who wants to be able to live a long life where things just keep going well for you? We all want that, right? Now listen, I'm just curious. How many of you guys actually knew or remembered that the Bible said this? See a few here. I understand that many of us, we probably all knew that the Bible says, honor your father and mother, right? How many of us actually remembered or knew that the Bible says, if you do, life will go well for you and you'll live a long life? Come on. I know there's a few of us, right? A whole bunch of us didn't remember that though, if we're honest, right? Nobody's talking to you about this, are they? Except I will point out, it's been here for us the whole time. Don't keep this stuff a secret from yourself, okay? Listen, here's what I've been telling us for the past few weeks, if you remember. Come on, remember this. I've been saying for the past few weeks, God has all of the vital information we need so that life can go well for us, right? Remember me saying that? It's all right here. He's not keeping it a secret from anybody. And in fact, he says, honor your father and mother, so that life can go well for you. It will go well for you. Listen, and check this out. We're going to expand upon this, okay? But here's why things will go well for you in life if you can obey this commandment. Because church, if you can surrender your heart, if you can make the choice, if you can commit yourself to honoring your father and mother, you'll then be well on your way to understanding how to honor, how to build up, how to care for and protect all of your other relationships in life. And come on, if you can do that, don't you think life's going to go much better for you? And here's what I see at the same time. Here's what I see God saying. God's saying, if you'll obey me, if you will choose to honor your parents, I will command a blessing over your life for things to go well for you. Come on, God's in the midst of this. You see, okay, here's why I said this was a foundational command just a minute ago. Okay, yes, it was one of the Ten Commandments, and those are foundational. But within the Ten Commandments, this is the first command that God gives us for how we're to relate to other people. The first four commands are all commands about how we're to relate to God. And then the last six commands are about how we're to relate to other people. This one is the first that talks about how we're to relate to other people. And think about this. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest thing we can do in life? He essentially just summed up the Ten Commandments. He essentially just quoted all of them. He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Love other people as yourself. This command to honor your parents is the first command we are given on how we're then to love and relate to other people. And here's what's amazing, okay? I went back and I was reading a bunch of the Jewish or the Hebrew commentaries all around the Ten Commandments. And here's what it said. Here's what it said that our forefathers of the faith believed way back when this command was given. Okay, check this out. They held the belief that if we can't learn to honor our father and mother, if we can't regard them with respect and dignity, we'll then have no chance of truly honoring any other relationships we have in life. If we can't honor our parents, if we can't treat them with respect and dignity, then to some degree, there will always remain a certain amount of brokenness in every relationship you have because we won't fully understand how to honor other people. Are you following me on this? Are you catching this? Listen, your decision to give honor to your parents has a direct impact on how willing you are to serve, build up, care for, and protect all of your other relationships in life. Now that said, I know what a bunch of us are thinking. And it's a valid thought that needs to be addressed this morning. Some of us are thinking right now, but my parents weren't honorable people. My dad wasn't an honorable person, you might say, or my mom hasn't been or wasn't a respectful person. They didn't honor me. They didn't love me. They didn't treat me well. They weren't there for me. They didn't speak kindly to me. And so, Pastor, I can't see how I could possibly give honor to them. Okay, first off, I really want you to hear me. I am sorry. It really does break my heart. I am sorry for the things that you have experienced. And I do know that days like Mother's Day and days like Father's Day can be more difficult for some of us. Can I tell you something? Part of Newton Reborn has to be you and me working together to break the downward relational cycles that so many people here in our town keep experiencing. It has to stop. And so you need to hear this. It breaks God's heart too. He didn't want what's happened to you. He didn't want that for you. I pray you would open your heart and receive that today. Satan wants to convince you otherwise that it's all God's fault. I'm telling you, please open your heart and receive this today. God never wanted that for you. Here's how I know he never wanted that for you. He says so right here in his word. He tells us right here in his word, it's not what he wanted for you. He's also told us, please open your heart to this. He's also told us that if we'll let him, he will be the father that many of us never had, and he can heal us from it all. He can give you the healing that you need. He can give you the momentum that you need in life. He can make you and me into the honorable people that maybe our parents were, so that we don't have to repeat the sins of our parents, And so for those of us that have kids, our kids can know true love. For all of us that are in relationships with anybody, that's everybody, so that the relationships we're in, those people can experience true love from us. But here's also how I know God didn't want it for you. Listen to me, because around the same time that God was giving this commandment, he also gave his people a list of blessings and curses. He gave them a list of blessings, and he said, you're going to be blessed if you follow me and if you actually live an honorable life. You see, this commandment for us to honor our parents, it did actually come with the assumption that parents were going to live honorable lives. That assumption was there. And so he said, there's blessing, there's life for you if you will live an honorable life. At the same time, he said, there's curses, there's consequences if you're going to live a dishonorable life. Sometimes the consequence was immediate death. Listen, God didn't want any of his people, any of the moms and dads, to be abusers or be anything less than a godly role model for their kids. And so he warned them. He said, there's life for you. There's blessings for you if you will follow me, if you'll love me, if you'll love your kids, if you'll love those around you. And there's curses if you don't. There's consequences. You'll ultimately die. And I know, church, sometimes we think, yeah, but that's just Old Testament stuff. Those things don't apply anymore. Well, yes, they do. Listen, follow me. We just saw that there is blessing for us. Life can go well for you if you will learn to honor your parents. And I'm telling you, there are consequences if you don't. There are still consequences in life if you don't learn to honor your parents, or if you refuse to honor God and you live a dishonorable life. Things will ultimately not go well for you in the end. And so you need to understand that while this command did come with an assumption that dads and moms would live honorable lives, this command did not come with any exemptions for the rest of us if they didn't. You following me? God did not command us to honor our parents only if they were living honorable lives. He actually told all of us, he said, honor your parents no matter what. Now, I know this is tough for some of us, okay? But come on, stick with me, because there is something so beautiful and encouraging in the midst of this, okay? Yes, we are commanded to honor our parents, even if they have not been honorable people. There is no exemption. However, here's the really encouraging part. Somebody needs to get excited right now, and here's why this commandment is so foundational for all of our other relationships, because the honor we give isn't primarily for the people who receive it. The honor we give is primarily for those who are giving it. One more time. The honor you give isn't primarily for the person receiving it. The honor you give is primarily for you. Perhaps your parents haven't been honorable people, but I'm telling you, if you will learn to forgive them and honor them and obey God nonetheless, God will do an amazing work in your heart. God will do something incredible inside of you. You'll understand how to honor and respect and treat other people with dignity, and you'll be blessed by God in the process. Life will go well for you. Besides, listen to me, honorable people aren't just walking around waiting on other people to honor them. Honorable people aren't chasing compliments. Honorable people are humble. They don't feel the need to be noticed and appreciated. Honorable people are the kinds of people who spend their time serving others, building others up, caring for others, and protecting other relationships. They spend their time giving honor, respect, and appreciation to others. Honor is primarily for the person giving it. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go in and choose, I'm going to honor my parents selfishly so that I can get something out of it. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I'm also not saying that you need to stay in some kind of abusive or hurtful relationship just to be honoring. Do you hear me? That's not what honor is about. I'm saying that honor given to other people, the choice to show respect, the choice to serve other people, that the choice to give dignity to other people is ultimately an essential an essential expression of humility, submission, and love towards God, and therefore it shows you know how to love the other people he created, no matter whether they're worthy of it or not. Are you guys following me? Are you with me? This is some good preaching this morning. Come on. This is also then how you keep the greatest commandment. And when you do this, listen, whether people have been honorable or not, as you give them honor, you won't be able to stop God's beautiful work in your heart. You won't be able to contain the healing that he's going to pour out in your heart. You won't be able to have enough room for all the blessings he's going to give you. And I'm telling you, they will show up in your ability to have and maintain beautiful, healthy relationships with others. You will have a harvest. Your choice to honor others shows that no matter how worthy other people are, you're still going to love them and treat them with dignity and respect. You're gonna treat them with their best in mind, just like God does for all of us, even though we are all so unworthy of it. I've got a good pastor friend, and his dad passed away just a few years ago. And church, I'll just tell you, his dad was not a very honorable man. His dad was not there for him. His dad did not serve him, build him up, care for him, protect him. His dad didn't speak kindly to him. His dad did not treat him very well. And yet, my friend, he loves Jesus. He has helped me love Jesus even more. And here's the decision I watched my friend make. He made the decision to honor his dad. He made the decision to, get this, to listen to what God says. God says, honor your parents. And so he made the decision, because I love Jesus, because I'm committed to following Jesus, I'm going to obey what God says. I'm going to listen to what God says over the pain that I felt, over the way culture tells me that I should treat people. I'm going to listen to Jesus. Friends, I've only ever heard him say kind things about his dad. And I know better. I've only ever heard him honor the memory of his dad. And I'm not saying it's been easy all the time. I'm not saying it's never come with some pain. But he's made the choice to listen to God, to listen to his word, to obey, because he's committed to following Jesus. And church, my friend is in the midst of a harvest because of it. He has a marriage that is to be envied, if envy were a good thing. He's got relationships with his kids that blow my mind. He's got friends that last. Get this, he's leading a church that is on fire when it comes to relational disciple making. You see, he could have let the hurt he experienced, all that pain and that brokenness, he could have let it seep into all of his other relationships in life, and it could have killed his momentum. But no, instead, he chose to listen to God, and he's been receiving so much healing in the process, and now his life is a relational source of blessing for others. He's able to serve, build up, care for, and protect relationships all around him because he understands what it truly means to be able to honor others. Friends, honor is an essential expression of love. Our choice to honor God, our choice to honor our parents will have a direct impact on all of our other relationships in life. And healthy relationships with God and his people creates momentum. The opposite is true, though, too. Every time you dishonor someone else, you're killing your own momentum in life. And you're potentially harming those as well. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Husbands and wives, every time you speak ill of your spouse in front of other people, you're killing your marriage momentum. Where is the honor in that? Where is the servant's heart? Where's the care? Where's the building up? Where's the protection in that? Church, every time you gossip about somebody, you're killing your own momentum. And you're potentially harming the people you're talking about as well. Where is the honor in that? If you were truly interested in being an honorable person, you would spend your time trying to build others up rather than tear them down. Gentlemen, you wouldn't stare at that other man's wife or that young girl if you truly knew what honor was. And I don't care if she's in the room or if she's on a computer screen, she's God's daughter. She is to be honored. He's to be honored as her dad. And if she has a husband, he's to be honored as a son of God or potentially even your brother. Some of us in here, you wouldn't do those things to that girl, or you wouldn't take advantage of that other person the way you have been if you truly knew what honor was. Now, you'd seek to serve them. You'd want to build them up and care for them. You'd want to protect those relationships. Ladies, some of us, we just want to impress our boyfriend so much, or we want to impress that guy so much. No. Forget the boyfriend. Get yourself a man friend that loves Jesus and knows how to honor you. If you have to compromise what God says to you so that you can please a guy, then I'm telling you, that's a boy. That is not a man. You hear me? Church family, we must. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, if we are going to develop and maintain momentum, if we're going to have a harvest and therefore see Newton reborn, we must embrace and protect a culture of honor as God's people. We must learn to honor God and others, whether they're worthy of it or not. We've got to stop seeking honor from what culture values the most. We've got to stop seeking honor from dishonorable people, and we must learn to honor God and do what he commands us to do. Besides, whose honor matters the most? Whose voice matters the most in our lives? God's, right? And did you know that God will honor you? Do you know this? That's how I put a smile on your face. Come on, God will actually honor you. It's incredible. Come on, who would like to be honored by God? We all would, right? So check this out. Check this scripture out, okay? Here's our key for how we can be honorable people, how we can do it, and how we can have a culture of honor and receive the honor that matters the most. This is Jesus speaking in John 12, verse 26. He says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. Real quick, I don't know about you, but I want to serve Jesus. I can't get over what Jesus has done for me, even though I have been so unworthy of it. That didn't stop him. I'll tell you, we honor the badge here at the gathering. We honor the crown even more. We're going to honor King Jesus. We want to serve King Jesus. He says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. In other words, must be committed to me, must want to listen to me, must want to obey me, must want to be where I'm at. He says, because my servants must be where I'm at. They got to live life with me. Do live by me. And watch this. He says, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. You see that? Friends, once again, honor is an essential expression of love, and the Father will give you that same essential expression of love. He will honor you. He will honor anyone who truly knows how to give honor, anyone who will serve Jesus. Here's what we've been seeing. Honor serves. It builds up. It cares for and protects other relationships. Honor is a God thing. Honor comes from the heart of God. Honor is something that Jesus followers do. As followers of Jesus, church family, we must have a culture of honor. So listen, I got three things for us real quick. Listen, here's how we can begin to live honorable lives. Maybe you're in here and you say, man, I've been blowing it. You can begin to live an honorable life. We can have a culture of honor together here at the gathering. Here's number one. We got to honor God. We've got to make the choice. This means we're going to stop trying to honor the things that culture values the most. Stop chasing that. Stop chasing after sin and giving yourself over to sin. And listen, if you're not following him and you have no desire to listen to his word, you can't honor God. So honoring God means you serve him. You submit to him. You follow him. You're committed to him. You'll listen to him. You'll obey him. You will be where he's at. You'll honor the crown. You'll keep that first commandment. You'll love God, and therefore you will love the other people around you that he's brought into your life. You'll see them the way he does, and you'll begin to treat everybody with respect and dignity. Number two, we got to honor those above us. You got to honor those above you. I'm going to speak to the kids and the young people real quick. Listen, you can't honor your parents and say you love God if you refuse to obey them. It can't be done. Everybody, you can't honor God. You can't say you love him if you refuse to obey him and if you refuse to submit to the authority that he has placed in your life. Listen to me again. As you begin to honor God, you will begin to honor those. You'll be able to honor those who are above you. You'll see people the way God does. And when you see people the way God does, you develop a heart of compassion for others, even for your own parents who may have blown it. You'll be able to forgive them and give them true honor, even if they're not worthy of it. You will become an honorable person, and things will change in your life. For example, you'll change the way you treat your boss. You won't be negative towards them anymore, him or her. You will serve him or her. You'll build them up. You'll care for them and protect that relationship you have with them. And God will honor that all day long. You'll honor the leaders that God has put in your life. And listen, I don't say this morning to be self-serving or to serve myself in any way, okay? I say this because by the grace of God, my spiritual leaders taught me this, and it stuck, okay? And this can't be a topic that nobody talks about anymore. You have to hear this. You have to honor the spiritual leaders that God puts in your life. I'm not saying this to be self-serving. I'm saying this. God's going to call some of us on to other cities one day, and we're going to go to other churches. I would be so embarrassed if you showed up in another church and you didn't know how to honor your pastor. We've got to honor our pastors. We've got to honor our neighborhood gathering leaders. We've even got to honor Team Reborn. Come on, those people who show up to serve you, those are servant leaders. Amen? Hey, can we honor Team Reborn one time right now? Come on, thank you guys for all you do. One more. We've got to honor those next to us and under us. You got to honor those next to and under you. Parents, we've got to treat our kids the way the Bible says to treat our kids. You know, the Bible says, parents, love your children. And if you still have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6, we stopped at verse 3, but you've got to see what verse 4 says. Paul doesn't just stop with honor your parents. He goes on. Watch this. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Dads, let's not make our kids have to make the tough choice when it comes to honoring us. Amen? Let's make it easy on them. Here's a handy tip. I do this all the time because, listen, I am not a perfect dad. I am far from it, okay? But here's what I do. I tell my kids every day, Daddy loves you. I love you. And I do this. When I mess up, when I hurt my kids, and yes, I do it from time to time, I go to my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old, and I've been doing this since before they could even talk. I go to them and I ask them for their forgiveness. I say, I am sorry for what I did to you. Will you forgive me? Listen, parents, you don't have to be perfect. God's not expecting you to be perfect. But if you will love your kids, if you will tell them every day, honestly, there shouldn't be a day that goes by where you don't tell your kids you love them. If you've not been doing that in the past, today's a new day. Tell them you love them and then try to show it to them in real time. Be there for them. And when you mess up, you go, swallow your pride, and you ask for forgiveness from your children. And I'm telling you, if you will do that, if you'll do those things, you will be giving your kids something to honor all day long. One more thought. We've got a city around us full of hurting people. And many of them, just like us, have not always lived honorable lives. I want everybody to know, here at the gathering, we will treat every person who walks through the doors with dignity and respect. Every person. I don't care where they come from. I don't care where they've been. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care what they're wearing. We will treat them with dignity and respect. Listen to me. Just like Jesus, we're not going to treat people the way they deserve to be treated. We will treat them according to who we know they can become in Jesus. We will treat them according to the momentum we know that they can have as soon as they begin to discover just how much Jesus loves them. We'll treat them according to that life of impact and significance we know that they can live. We will treat the people of our city with honor. We will have a culture of honor here at the gathering. And a culture of honor is infectious. In fact, I want you to think about this. As more Newton Reborn takes place, and so listen, it's Father's Day. I know we got moms and dads and everybody in between here today. But here's something beautiful. God calls all of us to be spiritual parents. And maybe you don't feel like you're a spiritual parent yet, but can we imagine together? You know I love to imagine and dream here at the gathering, right? Can we just imagine together? You guys want to imagine for just a moment? All right, put on your dreaming caps with me. Imagine yourself as a spiritual parent. Yeah, it's coming. And imagine you're a disciple maker and you keep making more and more disciples. Imagine the day when there's over 2,000 people that begin to show up at this church. Can you picture that? 2,000 people that are a part of the gathering family that are sold out to the vision. Listen to me. That's when you have a gatherer or a harvester on every block in this town. That's when you have a gatherer or a harvester in every business here in this town. And that's when you have people everywhere who know how to serve others, build up others, care for others, and protect relationships everywhere. That's when a culture of honor begins to demonstrate the love of God, and that momentum becomes unstoppable, and you see a harvest, and your city gets reborn. Amen? Amen? Come on, today's a new day. We don't have to stay the way we have been. We can all step in. We can all become more honorable people than we have been even just before we walked in the doors this morning. Amen? Amen? Dads, it is Father's Day. I just want to encourage you with this before we leave. Our dad's not taking the day off. Our father's not taking this day off today, is he? Yes, please be loved. Be honored by your family. Enjoy that. But don't take the day off. And with so much grace, maybe it has been a while since your kids have heard you say, I love you. Maybe that's not been a daily thing. Maybe there are some things that have happened and you need to ask for forgiveness from your kids. Today's Father's Day. Today's a day to be dad. Amen. Today's a day to give our kids something to honor. Today's a day to give our spouses something to honor. And I'm telling you right now, so I'm encouraging you. Maybe you need to go ask for forgiveness. Don't let this day go by without doing that. Maybe you need to go and step up to your kids and say, I love you. And daddy's going to keep telling you that. Do that today. Some of you right now, you're thinking, I don't know how I could ever ask for forgiveness, or that might be too tough. Listen to me. You have no idea what momentum could take place on the other side of that ask. God can pour out so much momentum in your family if you'll lead the way and you'll honor them first. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Jesus, we love you. We desperately need you. Your word says that we can't come to the Father on our own. We can only come to the Father through you. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you gave your one and only Son. Thank you that you weren't waiting on us as your kids to come and try to make things right with you. Thank you that you haven't taken a day off. Thank you that you came and stepped toward us and said, Dad loves you. Dad will forgive you. Dad has everything that you need. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those of us in here that have felt fatherless, I pray that that would end today. I pray, Holy Spirit, we need you. Would you wrap us in your arms? Would you grow us? Would you help us? Would you draw us so near to the Father's heart? Father, may we hear your voice. Come on, I know this church family. He's saying right now, I love you. I love you, son. I'm proud of you, son. I love you, daughter. I'm so glad you're mine. Thank you, Father. Pour out your heart in us. Be honored by us today. Thank you for all the ways you have honored us, and I pray there'd be a culture of honor here that would be infectious, that we would know, Lord, how to serve and build up and care for and protect everyone around us. Come and father this city, Lord, through your church. We love you, Jesus. We need you. It's in your name we pray, and my whole family say, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.